planned for each of us, oh God. So, mighty King of Glory, we ask you, Lord, that you will quiet the noise around us, Lord, and speak to us, O King of Glory, God. I pray, Father, that you may meet everybody, Father, exactly where they are, God. I pray, Jehovah God, that this word will go in deep, O King of Glory, God, Father. Either, Jehovah God, to tear apart what is wrong, O God, or to edify what's good, O King of Glory, God. I pray, King of Glory, Father, that your spirit, God, will just go in, Father, and just do what you only can do, Father, in us, O God. We just praise you, Father, and I pray, Lord, that you may move me out of the way completely, Lord, so you can speak, oh God, to your people, Lord. I pray, Jehovah God, that your word will come exactly like you gave it to me, Lord. And Jehovah God, you will just do what you only can do, Lord. We praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we have been going through the book of Acts, and today we get to start Acts 8. And if you guys haven't been coming to Wednesday service, and if you haven't listened, you've missed a couple, you should go back in because they've been really powerful, right? Yeah. Okay, three of you. It's been really powerful, right? So, yeah. So the last time that was preached was
morning
of speech. Oh, you preach, yes. So today we're going to pick up from Acts 8:18. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping all over the church in Jerusalem. All the believers, except the apostles, were scattered through the region of Judea and Samaria. Some of the devoted men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. So again, Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women and throwing them in prison. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news. Can you guys say good news?
Yes.
About Jesus wherever he went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds gathered intently to listen intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and to see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victim, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Can you guys say great joy?
Great joy.
So at this point, you see that Stephen has been killed. The believers who are left are being persecuted. Saul, who we're going to get to know more about as we're going to the Acts, he's watching and he's going house to house and picking out people to be persecuted. So we have one group of Christians who have seen just Stephen, who is one of the people that they were following and who was encouraging them, their brother in Christ, get killed. And now the rest of them are being pulled one by one to the house. So the rest of them decide to scatter and just, you know, get away from that point. It's easy for me to go in and like, let's talk about the life of Saul and how he was changed to Paul. And then let's talk about forgiveness and mercy. And we will talk about those as you guys keep coming on Wednesday, right? But today I want us to look at what followed after the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began. The Pharisees, Saul included, thought that they had won by killing Stephen. And so because they had, hey, we've killed one of their main guys, guess what? Let's go and get the other guys, right? And so they started going house to house. So there was no peace and there was no place to hide. So they decided to run away. And I want us to put ourselves in that situation, because sometimes we read the Bible and it's kind of like a novel sometimes. You're like, oh yeah, the guy was killed. Oh yeah, you know, they went house to house. Oh yeah, of course the natural reaction is to run away. But I want you to think about that if that happened today. Think about that in your life. You're a leader. Unfortunately, I've got to use Pastor Crystal because she's right here with me. So they grab Pastor Crystal for speaking the word of God, right? And that's not going to happen. But I want to paint a picture for you guys so you can see that clearly. So we can get out of the book and actually go to real life, right? So they grab Pastor Crystal because of preaching the word of God. She is stoned and killed. And now, That doesn't stop there, but now they are going to your homes and knocking on the doors. They are pulling you guys out. And then the rest of you who manage not to be put in prison, then you go to a different city. And you don't get in your cars and run off. You walk to those cities, or you take a horse. It's something that's going to be a long time. You'd, like when I was looking from where Philip went, it was like a 22-hour walk to where he was going. Think about that. Because it's easy for us to read the Bible and just assume, hey, you know, this, yes, yes, yes. But put yourself in that situation. Put yourself, how much fear do these people have? Think about it. They keep watching their backs every single minute because they don't know whether they're going to be followed, right? They know the rest of the people have been. But let's read and see what they did. And so when I was looking at this message and you know, we talk about the Bible and it talks about the last days and the persecution that's going to come, something feels like as we move on that these are days that we might see in our own generation. And so the question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to scatter? Are we going to still stand up and speak the word of God? What are we going to do? Well, I'm glad you're here, so then we can kind of see where we go with this, okay? So if you didn't know, by the time we leave here, you guys will be educated, so it'll be good, right? So I wonder what would happen to our lives if we had to run from our homes for believing and testifying what God has been doing. These believers were preaching the truth. They were preaching what Jesus has done. Stephen had already spoken and told them, and now they are frustrated and they are mad because they've been told all the truth and all the things they are doing, but then they continue to do it. Okay? The Bible says that all the believers except the apostle were scattered through the region of Judea and Samaria. The believers were scattered. So when I first read about being scattered, when you think about if something scatters like a herd of cow and something like that, it's they run and hide, right? But that's not what happened. The believers went and they preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. So, hold on. So, we've seen one of our leaders being killed, right? We've seen most of our friends being put in prison. We've seen everybody, their family. Don't forget, it's not just grown-ups. All their families and everything they are running, right? And then, the Bible says, and the Bible doesn't waste any words. It says, they preach the good news about Jesus Christ. So there's all these things that are going on, but yet they have a heart to preach the good news. Think about that. Because in my reaction, the first person that I meet and I start talking to, I'm going to tell them about how bad those things are over there. I'm going to be like, man, let me tell you something. They got my guy. They killed my family. They took all this stuff, right? But what do these guys do? They don't do that. They go and they speak what? The good news. So in other words, they are not faced by the circumstances. It doesn't matter what they've gone through, they still preach the good news. I put myself in the same shoes. What would I do if that happened to me? What am I going to do when that time comes? Am I going to be able to stand up and still go and preach the good news? Am I going to be able to still not focus on what's going on and what has already gone, but focus on that what is true and what God has promised and continue carrying the gospel? Good. Good. I wonder what I'm going to do. I wonder what you're going to do. How deep are you rooted in Christ that you see the believer, the person you guys follow has been killed, and then others put in jail? But then you go to the next city, and instead of hiding and letting things cool down, you end up preaching the good news. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. I know Philip is talking about where he, you know, the journey that he was going. But if they're preaching wherever they went, that means even with his 22-hour walk, whoever he met, wherever he went, he was preaching. So he could have been persecuted and seen all these guys put in jail 2 hours ago. But wherever he went, 2 hours and 15 minutes later, he's preaching the good news. He didn't wait for things to cool down. I know I would wait for things to cool down. I'd be like, baby, let's go. Being real, right? But these guys, like, they preach the gospel wherever they did. I know these believers were praying for Stephen. They were praying for their fellow believers. Yet God did not answer their prayer the way they hoped, right? Because they were praying that Stephen doesn't get stoned, doesn't get killed, right? They were praying that their believers would not be, you know, they would not be persecuted. There's nothing wrong with that. And so that made me wonder, What happens to us when our world falls apart? When our prayers don't get answered the way we are hoping? When a loved one who we've been praying for loses a fight and is dead or something like that? When a kid we've been raising right decides to deviate from the truth? When we lose a job that we've been praying and going on our knees and asking God, please provide to us, how do we act the following morning? How do we act 2 hours from there? Do we still, somebody talks to you, do you go and say all the things about how you served so long, you've done all these things, and now this is how I feel? Or do you still say that the plans God has for me are greater plans than what I can imagine? What do we do? Like, what happens to us when we get pushed by life to the ends of our limit? Stephen is gone. They are now running away. They are scattered. They are all alone. There's nobody there to hold them. I want you to see, I want to create that word picture, and you think about yourself in that situation. What would I be doing? Where would I be? But the believers preach the good news. The Bible goes to the extent of giving us an example of Philip. And he's preaching the good news wherever he goes. And to me, what that says, it doesn't matter where you go. If the word of God is in you, you will withstand whatever storm comes your way. Yeah. If you are truly rooted in Christ, you will withstand the storm. Yeah. You cannot help but proclaim the name of Christ. Yeah. Doesn't matter where you are. You know, I think I put myself in their shoes and I think, you know, I have a lovely wife, I have kids, I have a good job, and I have a church and all the things. And what if these things are taken away and I'm forced to run? What would my life look like? Where would my heart be? And I know you're probably saying, I'll be like Philip. Yes, but the question is, would you be like Philip because you want God to provide? Don't miss this. Would you be like Philip because you want God to provide and you know he's going to take care of you, right? Which he is. Or is your heart going to be so much for God that it doesn't matter if he doesn't provide, if he doesn't take care of you, even if he doesn't do any of that stuff, is your heart in a place where you will worship God and tell people about Christ? Think about that. Because it's easy to say yes. Send me to wherever. Take whatever I have. Take all my stuff. Take my life. Take whatever you want. But the question is, why are we saying that in our heart? Are we saying because we know he's a provider, which he is, right? He could have saved Stephen, but he knew a greater thing was going to come out of that, right? What if he chooses not to do those things for you? Are you still going to stand and proclaim the good news? See, as I read this message, and I've been looking at this message for last month, it told my heart to check into those areas where, those areas in my life, those things that I think that, yes, God, I know you can do this, but it made me look even deeper. Yes, Lord, I will still serve you. Doesn't matter where you take me. You know, I will go. But the question is, why am I going to serve you? What if I don't have anything? What if you don't save me like you didn't save Stephen? What is that going to look like? What if you can't save my home? What is that going to look like? What if I go to a different place? What is that going to look like? And at that moment, I had to check my roots. I had to check my roots. Where am I rooted? And this evening, I'm asking you to do the same. Check your roots. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, check your roots. That was not convincing at all. They're like, check your roots. Yeah, I will. No. So look at them and tell them, check your roots. Because this will either save you or not save you when those things do come. Yeah. Right? Psalms 1:1-3 says, oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners and join with the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like a tree planted along the riverbank, bearing fruits each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. We want to be that tree. We want to be that tree planted in Christ so much that it doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter if there's winter. Doesn't matter if there's the wind. The roots are deep in Christ so much that whatever comes our way, we are not going to be shaken. My question for you today is, where are you getting your nutrition? Where are you getting your nutrition? Those that drink from the fountain of the word of God are like a tree, a healthy tree with healthy roots, a strong tree that will withstand heavy storm, one that will bear fruits even in time of lack. Think about that. Not only that withstand, so then I can protect myself. Not only to withstand, so then it's just me. That God, man, I made it. But it's going to bear fruit. What did these disciples do? They went and preached the good news. Even in the craziness of all that stuff, they still bore fruits. So, right? Think about it. Because most of the time you're like, Lord, I know that if this happens, then I'll be in this place and it's okay. I can withstand myself. But when we look at your fruits at that point, do you have any fruits? Are you going to be able to bear any fruits? Check your roots. Check your roots and see where you've been planted. How often are you drinking from the fountain of the word of God? Sundays only? Some Wednesdays? These believers bore fruit even in the worst time because they were filled with the word of God. Yeah. Verse 6. The crowds listened intently with Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous sign he did. Many evil spirits were cast out screaming as they left their victim, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city. What a contrast. This believer come from a place of pain, torment, place where there is no hope, there is death, there is despair looming in the streets. Yet, none of that messed their fruits. They bring hope. They bring the good news. Let's put ourselves in there. I hope you guys are like super quiet because you're paying attention, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I just think about our life, man. Like, we go to Starbucks and somebody messes your coffee by like 2 degrees, right? And now it just ruined your life.
Come on.
And it ruined the life of everybody you're going to meet that day.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
Right? Starbucks. And it might not be, some people are like, Mugi, I don't drink coffee. Well, maybe water, something you're buying, okay, right? Right? But think about it. We are so petty with small stuff. How are we going to survive when persecution comes? If we can't even like be nice to the lady who did not know that you need your coffee at 102 degrees instead of 100, really? How are we going to withstand that? How are we going to withstand persecution? What's going to happen? See, I urge you to check your roots. Psalms 31:5 says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescue me. You refuse to let my enemies triumph over me. Oh my God, I cry to you for help and you restore my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. In other words, if your roots are firmly planted, though the storm may come at night, though the wind might be great, though the night might be really, really bad, joy does come in the morning. And you can see these believers. Yes, there was sorrow at night, but then joy comes in the morning. And that's why I say there was great joy in the city. The place they went, it was crazy at night. It was crazy, whatever that was going through that. But then in the morning, joy came. So we are not fighting this battle alone. The battle is not ours. All we need to do is be planted. Be planted where Christ is. And we can withstand anything. See, today I want to just let you know, if your roots are not planted in Christ, there is not going to be any joy for you in the morning. It doesn't matter what you try. It doesn't matter where you're getting your nutrition from. It doesn't matter. If you are not planted in Christ, there will be no joy for you.
Yeah.
And if it's joy, it's going to be a fake joy. It's not going to be the joy that's going to give you joy. Right?
Yeah.
Luke 6:46-49 says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you do not do what I say. I will show you what it's like when somebody comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who dig deep and lays a foundation on solid rock. When the flood water rises and breaks against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods come, so the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. See, when I read this, it tells me that a storm will come. A storm is coming. The question is, where is your foundation?
Yeah.
Right? Where is your foundation? Where are your roots? Where is your hope planted? Is your hope planted in your job? Is your hope planted in my family? Is your hope planted in your ability? Is your hope planted in your skill? Is your hope planted in your friends? What happens when we lose it all? Are we still going to praise the Lord? Are you still going to praise the Lord when you lose it all? Ecclesiastes 1:1-2, it says, these are the words of the teacher, King David, who ruled Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. And then 1:16 says, I say to myself, look, I'm wiser than any of the kings who ruled Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned faster that pursuing all these is like chasing the wind. See, if these believers were holding on to their stuff, if these believers were holding on to their knowledge, if these believers were holding on to their class, if these believers were holding on to their homes, to their horses, to their donkeys, what would have happened? You know, I think about the economy in 2007, 2009, when the economy crashed, and we were in California then, and about 2009, people were killing themselves and killing their families because they could not withstand the financial burden. And I know it's so easy for us to say, hey, that's not going to be me. But if we have our hope planted somewhere else where it's not Christ, and then that foundation is shaken, and then there is no hope, you never know, because the enemy finds a crack and comes in, you never know what he's going to convince you.
Yeah.
But then today we have a moment here to examine our roots and realize where we are. And if we are not planted where we need to be planted, then we need to ask God to plant us where we need to be planted. Because it's easy for us to point fingers at the Israelites and all these people, but we have to check ourselves and see, where are we planted?
Yeah.
Check your roots, right?
Yeah.
If Christ is not your number one, then you have nothing.
Yeah.
Are you spending time with God, praying and fasting, reading your word constantly? Psalms 119:27-30 says, help me to understand the meaning of your commandment, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instruction. I have chosen to be faithful. I've determined to live by your regulations. I love that part. It says, keep me from lying to myself. In other words, God is saying, help. You're telling God, God, I think my roots are in the right place, but God, let me not lie to myself. Please search me. Tell me what I need to do so then I can see where my roots are. Help me so then I can do something about that, right? Psalms 139:23-24 says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Not the things you're seeing, not the thing you can easily touch, but the things that haven't even become an idea yet. Those anxious thoughts, those things that keep you up at night, you don't even know. It's going deeper and trying to pull those. Lord, reveal those to me so then we can deal with them right now.
Yeah.
Lord, check my roots, right?
Yeah.
When is the last time you asked God to check your root? To see if there was any rot? To see if there was any break, to see if there was any worms or dead parts, to see if there was any anger, to see if there was any jealousy in there, to see if there was any pride, to see if there was any bitterness. The list goes on. Those are things that weaken your roots. When is the last time you asked God to check those for you?
Good.
See, nothing would shut up Philip. He goes from Jerusalem to Samaria, 22-hour walk, and he has the audacity to preach the word of God still.
Yeah.
He has the audacity to preach the good news, even if he came from a place that was messed up. Acts 16:22-26, a mob quickly formed against. So in Acts 16:22-26, we are looking at Paul. And I know we'll get to that point as we continue. But in this part, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. And the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten. And when they had been thrown into prison, the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailers put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet with the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prison fell off. So they have been beaten severely. They have been captured. They have been put in jail. But what did they do? Did they nurse each other wounds? They say, man, yeah, man, I feel you. Those guys are really bad. Yeah, you know all the things that we've been doing for God. Where is God now?
Come on.
But you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God is going to get us out of this. Was that the conversation?
No.
Because that would be my conversation. God, I know. I know God is going to get out of this.
Yeah.
Silas, they were praying and singing hymns to God. Hymns, they are worshiping God for what he's already done. Because that's what we are supposed to do when we sing, right?
Yeah.
We're supposed to worship God for what he's done, or we worship him because of what he's going to do. Check, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's what they are doing. They are worshiping God because of what he's already done. And we look at their lives and we look at all those things. They are worshiping God. I wonder where I'll be. I wonder if that was me, where would I be? And I've asked myself that question so much. The last month as I worked on this, as I prayed on this message, I'm like, Lord, where am I? Where am I? If you squeeze me, Lord, what is going to come out of me? You know, I was listening to one of the pastors, I don't remember who it was, and he says they were talking to one of their, so they're driving and they have the phone on speakerphone. And so they're driving and they're talking to this other Christian who goes to their church. And they're having a really good conversation about Christ and all the things that are going to happen and all that. And so this pastor and his wife and talking to a deacon person, right? and so everything is going well and they're driving. And then from nowhere, somebody cut him off. And every single word that is not Christ-like came out of their mouth. Right? And I was like, my fasting, ha, 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 ha. But then I was like, okay, yeah, that's that situation. But what happens if somebody comes in and knock on my door and tells me, hey, if you proclaim Christ, you can close your door and go back to bed and sleep there, your kids and everybody is good. And if you don't proclaim Christ, then you need to get out. This is the last time that you're seeing them. What would that look like? When I'm squeezed, what would come out of my life at that point?
Yeah.
You know, like for that deacon person, when they were squeezed, the stuff that came out was not Christ-like.
Yeah.
Right?
So
what's going to happen to me if I'm not rooted in Christ? Because we've seen Philip. He is squeezed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is tore. These believers, they are squeezed and tore apart. Right? But what do they do? What comes out of them? The good news.
Amen.
I check myself and I ask my Lord, how do I go from being all about me and making sure my comfort is good to a point where I can be squeezed no matter where I am, and Jehovah God, that the good news comes out.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what happens. Psalms 105:1 says, "Oh, I thank God, Lord. I all give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the nation people." Psalms 119:10 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your command. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decree. God is saying, hide me, let your word be hidden. And in order for your word to be hidden, those roots have been sowed in Christ, that every nutrition that comes in there, it will be inside that tree. And it will be strong. Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and the light for my path. And then we look at Jeremiah 28:9. Jeremiah was being asked by God to go and tell these people that they were doing something wrong. And he did not want to do that. But then here we look, Jeremiah 28 says, "When I speak, the words burst out, violence and destruction. I shout, so these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. But if I say I will never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it. I cannot do it." We need to ask God to get us in that point in our life. Where it doesn't matter what happens, that when we try to contain the word of God, when somebody says, go and speak to this brother, go speak to this sister, go tell them that they're in the wrong and Christ wants to do this, that you're not like so worried about yourself, you're not worried about how they're going to look at you, but you are like, yes, I will, because the word of God is so much in your bones that you cannot contain it. That's where we need to be. But you cannot do that by just doing what we are doing. We have to be planted so deep in Christ that our roots have been so deep that there is no way you can tell apart from who we are and what Christ is doing in our life. Because it's going to be the same thing, right? See, it may look like a bad thing when that's burning, but you know what? It's a good thing because it makes you move. It makes you check your roots. I pray the same for you today. That you will not be able to contain what God has put in you. That you'll be empowered to speak even in the midst of danger. That starting today, your roots are going to be so deep that you can now be separated from the word of God. This evening, I'm asking you to open your eyes to ask God to open your eyes so you can see your roots. Let's all stand up. I'm going to take a moment here, and there's no reason of preaching the word if I don't give you a moment to meet God. So we're going to pray a song here, and just take a moment. God is here at the altar. Come speak to him. Ask him, hey, do something. Check my roots today. Whatever it is that you are, whatever what's going on with your life, put it aside and tell God, hey, I'm going to do something. But there is a well that never runs dry. The water of life, the blood of the vine. 'Cause all I know is everything I have means nothing. Jesus, if you